Will you take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Ephesians tonight? In all the annals of grace and glory, the unmatched, unequaled, and unparalleled in complete excellence is the calling of the one body. According to Ephesians 1:4, the calling of believers goes back before the foundations of the world. According to Ephesians 1:21, the calling of believers goes up far above all principality, power, and might. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if that isn't a calling, I don't know what a calling is. According to Ephesians 2, verse 6, the called believers are already seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. That is a very advantageous position. According to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, the called believers are to be rooted and grounded in what? In love. The whole purpose of why God wants us as believers to be rooted is so that we have tremendous nourishment fed to the whole body, but also when you're rooted, you're not cast about with every wind of doctrine. You're not blowing hot for the Lord one day and colder than a cucumber the next day. You stay right on because you're rooted. The whole purpose in being rooted and grounded, the whole purpose in God calling us from before the foundations of the world, to set us far above all principality and power, is stated in chapter 1, verse 4, that we should be what? Holy and without blame before Him in love. Now, class, if this is not unique excellence, then language is emptied of all its meaning. Any attempt or all attempts to alter the word, to say something contrary to what I have just stated and shown you here from the great principles of the word, any attempt by anybody, anywheres, to alter the greatness of that word is simply a waste of time. I read a record once, the story of a pauper who was living in a meager one-room hut. But all the time he was living in that meager one-room hut, this pauper was dreaming of what he would do if he had wealth, if he had a beautiful home. He was simply dreaming about it. What he did not know is that in reality, he was wealthy because someone had in their will left him a tremendous property and sufficient money, but he did not know it. And so as a pauper, he was still living in the hut, dreaming about it. When someone finally located him and told him about his very good fortune, he simply refused to believe it. He said, I just can't believe it. Sometimes, perhaps, this would speak loudly to ears in our time, because we may have been living as paupers spiritually. What we then did not know is that in reality we were wealthy. If we only would walk on the greatness of that word. Now I'm speaking about Christians, born again of God's Spirit, who are still spiritually living like paupers, way below par. They're dreaming about how they could get a prayer answered, how they might be able occasionally to have God to listen to something they might have to say. Also, when some of those people heard that word, they just couldn't believe that it was as good as the word said it was. And so they continue to live below par. But class, for those of us who are gathered here on the opening of this advanced class tonight, we may have been paupers at one time spiritually, but we are no longer paupers because we know where it is. We know that God's word is God's will, that it means what it says, and that it says what it means. And that God has a purpose for everything he says, where he says it, why he says it, how he says it, to whom he says it, when he says it. And that one body was the greatest thing God ever did in Christ Jesus. And we are gathered together in that one body here to move into greater realms of the abundance of the power of God, to make known his word in our day and time to people who want to hear it, who want to get out of their poverty and walk with a life that's more than abundant, to be more than conquerors through him, like you have been, because it is God who has set you on your high places. It is God who took us out of the cesspools of sin and iniquity and every place where we blew it. And he changed our life. He turned us on. Whenever anybody meets you, they ought to get turned on because you're turned on. That's right. Because you're happy, you radiate happiness. Because you've got joy, you radiate joy. Because you've got peace, you radiate peace. Boy, oh boy, and what is the exceeding, verse 19, greatness of his power to us word, who do what? According to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is what? Isn't that something? Set him at his own right hand. The called believers are seated in the heavenlies in whom? Then we are in Christ Jesus seated in the heavenlies. He's seated up there in verse 21. It says, far above what? All principality, all powers. That's right. So where is our stand as a son of God? Far above all principality, power, and might, and dominion, and every name that's named down here on earth. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Wait till that thing catches sometime in a soul of a man or a woman. Huh? Well, that's what the word says, not that it lies. We haven't got, but it doesn't lie, it tells the truth. But old Satan's around all the time beating people and saying it's not quite that big. It's not quite that good. And then he'll quote you a beautiful scripture. Let him who thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Be careful, you get too proud. He'll push that in your head. Well, bless God, you push it back in his head. Right. Far above all what? That's what the word says. That's what it means. If it never happens, it's still true. That's right. The only reason it won't happen is because we won't believe it. If we believe it, It will happen because it's already happened when God raised him from the dead and God seated his only begotten Son and set him above all praise and then called the body of believers in the one body that you may know, not question, not doubt, but that you may know. And I want you to say what the Word says about you, that you're seated in the heavenlies. That gives you power over all principalities, gives you all that dominion. Talking here about the Satan trip, we have power over all of that and over every what? That's right, every name. Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. This is why, remember, in the Old Testament, they searched diligently to find out what that period was. We know is the mystery. But they said angels desired to look into it. Those boys couldn't see it. Was hidden. But it's the reason it's so much bigger. Class, God stands first, his wonderful Son, Jesus Christ, next, and you and I in Christ Jesus. It's that big. And the day of cutting Christianity down and underselling it is over with. Just say what the Word says if nobody believes it. Somebody will believe it. That's right. Because somebody just gets around once in a while of being tired of the pauper situation who want to come up and out and be what the Word says they really ought to be. What they already are in Christ Jesus. That's right. He put all things under his what? That's right. And gave him to be head over all things to whom? Right. Now watch this. All things that are under what? Your feet. And Jesus Christ is head of the church, but Jesus Christ dwells where? In you. In you. Christ in you. Therefore, you head up that body of believers. That's a beautiful thing. That's right. That's why the whole body is important. Every person has a very specific job to do in the body. That's why we need the unity of the Spirit. The one mind trip on the Word. Otherwise, Satan gets in and he sort of messes us up. But you head up that church. Christ the head of it, I know that, but Christ is in you. And that makes you head man out there pushing the Word. Makes me head man where I'm pushing it. Makes you head man where you're pushing it. You head man, woman, where you're pushing it. Understand? That's how it is. Listen to verse 23. Which is his body, the church, is his body. The fullness of him who filleth what? Well, glory, hallelujah. It's his body. That one body I told you is just unmatched, unequaled, unparalleled in all of its complete excellence. Outside of the Word, I know no words that describe the beauty of that one body as efficaciously as it's being described in the Word. In chapter 2, talking about now, knowing the reality of the wealth that we have in Christ Jesus, in verse 6 it says, hath raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenlies. He raised us up. Well, he sure did. Because we were dead in trespasses and sins. If anybody dead, he's going to live. Somebody's got to raise him up. And he gave us remission of sins and forgiveness. He clothed us in his righteousness. All of those things that the Word speaks about, he did for us. To get the greatness of this tremendous truth about being raised up, made to sit together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. You pick it up in verse 1 of the second chapter. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our trip, you know, in times what? In the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, body and soul, even as others. But, in contrast, God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should what? For we are his what? Glory, hallelujah. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Not tremendous? In chapter 3, talking about this one body, the wealth that we have, the power that we may know. Look at verse 10. To the intent that now unto principalities in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold what?
Right.
The principalities and powers in the heavenlies, that the church, known by the church, that the church can know the manifold, the unvariegated power, wisdom of whom?
Right.
One of the nine manifestations of the Spirit is the manifestation of wisdom. We'll be dealing with it. In that manifestation of wisdom, you will see that the church has a tremendous power. But you cannot operate that power if you do not know it. God wants it known, that the church may know the manifold wisdom of what?
That's right.
To see the greatness of this, you got to begin reading in verse 9. To make all men see what is the fellowship, the administration of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. The words "by Jesus Christ" are scratched in the critical Greek text. Verse 10, we read. Verse 11. Listen to this. According to the eternal purpose which he, God, purposed, in whom? Christ Jesus our Lord. In whom, verse 12, we have boldness. Isn't that beautiful? We have it. Doesn't say pray about it. It says you've got it. You hear in messages in tongues or the interpretation of prophecy, be bold. The reason God has to keep telling us this is because we're not believing his word. Once you begin believing his word, he can give you another information. Right. It says, in whom we have. We have. Well, if we have, then what? We have. What? Boldness. We've got it. Don't have to pray about it. We got it. Just got to convince yourself you've got it. The word says you've got it. Then you have to say what the word says. Then you start acting like it. Boldness. And what else do we have? Access. Access. To God through Christ, we have access to God. I haven't even got access to Nixon. Not something. You know what they do if I call him on the phone? I never even get back past the 32nd secretary. Right. I'd say, we're Will calling from the way international headquarters. No, he said, what's that thing? See? Right. How proud people would be if I had the rapport where I could call Nixon on the phone and say I'd like to have you at Rock of Ages trip. This would be a good year election. Now, but people, I know the census mind would think it's tremendous, but what about the census mind being renewed to believe what the Word says? About God Almighty who created the heavens and the earth, who wrote all the greatness of the revelation except the mystery and of the stars, who called the one body before the foundations of the world, who seated us in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, in whom we have boldness and we have what? Access to Him. Man, oh man, that just makes me hotter than a firecracker. That just turns me on inside. Because I can hear from heaven. God's word is not like brass to me. His answers to prayer are not like brass. He is immediately available if you're born again and can speak in tongues. Speak divine mysteries, secrets, to whom we have access. You know, in Mark 11, if you believe and not what? He shall have whatsoever he said. The trick of the enemy is to just keep us from believing it. We have access. We have it. We have boldness. And we have this access with what? Confidence. That means the assurity, the certainty, that whatsoever we pray for according to His will, He heareth us. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not a question of God or of His wonderful Son, Jesus Christ, or what He wrought for us. It's a question of whether we can believe bring ourselves around to believing that what the Word of God says, the Word of God means. Do we really believe that the Word of God is the will of God? We have access with confidence by the believing of Him. What a tremendous truth. In chapter 4, in verse 11, that the church of the body be not a pauper corporation. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Verse 12, what for? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body. The fight is in hell. Not all this preaching on sin and condemnation. Baloney.
That's right.
Nobody has to preach sin at us. We know what it's all about. Nobody has to preach condemnation to us. We've been there. It's for the edifying, the building up, not the tearing down, the building up of the body, that the body can be strong, that we have that boldness and that access with confidence. And you never have that as long as somebody teaches you that which is contrary to God's word. That's why I said any attempt to alter the Word of God, to say something which it does not really say, is just so much waste of time. And you and I have come to the place in our life we hate to waste that kind of time. If we're going to waste any, we're going to sit with believers where we don't waste it. Just to sit in fellowship and hold hands, maybe. Just to be together, sweet on each other. That's right. Because the church was meant to be the sweetest fellowship this side of heaven. The church was meant to be a one-body trip. That cost God His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And you and I have that privilege of holding forth the greatness of that word in our day and time. That's why you're here for the advanced class, among other reasons. Now, again, class, to see the greatness of this, you got to begin in verse 7 of the 4th chapter. Unto every one of us is given what? Well, then it's given to us. Then have we got it? Oh, praise the Lord. Grace means divine favor. And when you and I have God on our side, we got a winning ball team. Spiritually, right? Right. Why, sure, God's on our side. He's not mad at us. He's not angry at us. He doesn't mind if you swallow a watermelon seed. Right. He doesn't care whether you put organic salt on it or the sinful salt or whatever it is. Unto every one of us there is given grace. Now watch this. According to the measure of the gift of what? Everything Christ is. That's the grace. Boy, I don't know how thankful you are for grace, but I'm gratefully thankful for grace. Boy, without it, we'd be in the soup. Really. Grace, divine favor. Divine favor. Anybody want a German short hair? We got about 5 of them to give away. That's literally true. Now look at verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on what? He, Jesus Christ, led captivity what? What a beautiful word. I don't know what Shakespeare would have done with that. Maybe he never read it. But imagine words that say, leading captivity, what? That's a heavy. That's right. To lead captivity, that which takes people and enslaves them, to lead that captivity captive. What a tremendous way to say it. Just fantastic. Well, bless God, when Jesus Christ ascended, he led captivity what? Well, bless God, when Jesus Christ ascended, he led captivity what? Therefore, when that old boy puts his hands on our shoulder, we say, lay off, man. Get out of here. Why? Because Jesus Christ led what? That's what it says. Led captivity captive. Then he gave gifts unto men. And we read those gifts for the perfecting, the building up of what? That's right, the body of Christ. Verse 13 says, how long? Until we all come in what? Unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of what? That happens with the gathering together, and we're going to be there. Boy, verse 14, that we be no more children, kids, tossed to and fro, kicked around, and carried about with every wind of what people say is right believing doctrine. All of that right believing doctrine stuff they talk about is like it says in Matthew, it's after the doctrines, after the commandments of men. Right. That's why people are blown about with every wind of doctrine. Because of the commandments of men. They say you just can't literally believe the Bible. Well, that's the commandment of whom? That's right. That's their doctrine. And if you believe that, you're going to get blown about. The Word says that He gave us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the building of, for the edifying of the body. That we be no more children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to do what? You already know what they're doing. They're just laying there waiting on you. You get out of the advanced class, they're going to grab you and say, hey, wait a minute, man. They lie in wait to do what? So you already know what they're going to do. It's your walk with Him. That's right. It's our walk together as a body or as a temple, that I know. But what makes that temple is are the individual tabernacles in it who walk as believers, as sons of God. Verse 15 says, we're to speak the truth in love. That's sometimes a little difficult. But you gotta. You speak the truth. It doesn't say you have to tell everything you know. You learned that one too, didn't you? You sometimes told a little too much. It was the truth, but just didn't use a word of wisdom. Right. Speaking the truth in love may grow up in Him in all things who is the head, even what? That's how you grow up. Speaking the truth in what? Simple. Boy, in chapter 5, it's another great reality. This teaches us again the opposite of the pauper situation where we live in a meager one-room hut and so forth. This teaches us the reality of the power that we have in Christ Jesus. And we believe it. Verse 16. Redeeming what? Because the days are what? Is that what the Word says? That's what it means. So don't come around tomorrow morning and say, well, the days are not evil. The Word says the days are evil, but they're not evil only for a believer who lives on top of it. Understand? In the world trip, the days are all evil. But you got to redeem it. This you and I have done in Christ Jesus. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise. To be not unwise is to be smart, sharp, neat, or whatever you want to call it. Be not unwise, but understanding. But understanding what the will of the Lord is. Isn't that beautiful? Those two men on the road to Emmaus on the appearance day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus walked with them a long ways. They never recognized Him. Then it says that He opened their what? Understanding. A man had been at the seat of religious authority in Jerusalem. He was an Ethiopian eunuch and was on the way home. But he had left that great seat of religion empty. On the way home, sitting in his chariot, he was reading from Isaiah. When a WOW ambassador named Philip joined himself to the chariot and he asked him one question. Understandest thou what thou readest? Except the Lord Jesus Christ opens the understanding of the two men on the road to Emmaus, they did not know Him. Unless men and women filled with Christ who have Christ in them, open the understanding of men and women with whom we come in contact, they'll never know the Lord Jesus Christ. Understandest thou what thou readest? Philip said in them. The Ethiopian eunuch said, How can I accept somebody? Give me a lift. Somebody help me. Somebody open it to me. Pretty something, isn't it? Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. When we understand what the will of the Lord is, then we have the possibility of bringing it into fruition, into concretion, into reality. But no man can bring it into concretion until he knows what he's got, understands it, and operates the principles which produce the results. To see the greatness of this truth, you go back to verse 14 and pick it up. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that what? And arise from the dead, and Christ's going to give you light. How's that? Awake thou that sleepest. Ring the alarm. It's rising up time. Right. Get up time. And it's arising from what? The dead. Isn't life worth living? Isn't life tremendous today? Isn't it vivacious? Isn't it exciting? You no more think of committing suicide than a barrel of monkeys tonight. Because, you know, if you did, you'd miss all the fun. You maybe thought about it once in your life, but you're certainly not thinking about it anymore. Matter of fact, some of us even hate to go to bed at night for fear we're going to miss something in those few minutes. Get so exciting. Christ shall give thee what? Light. See then that ye walk circumspectly. That means to walk sharply. Not as stupid fools. Not as fools, but as what? Wise. And wisdom is of the Lord, and the Lord's word tells us what the Lord's all about. So if we want wisdom, we go where? To the word. How we find out what God's got to say. Verse 18. Says, be not drunk with wine. Wherein is what? But be filled. Filled. Filled to overflowing with the Spirit. Just to manifest it. And to do that, you have to speak in tongues, interpret, prophesy, operate, word of knowledge, wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, healing. That's what you have. This is a command. He said, do not be drunk with what? Okay. But be what? Filled is a command. Well, if we say we love the Lord Jesus Christ, then we ought to get to cracking. We ought to do it. Filled with everything in manifestation that God's got for us. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord, what? Jesus Christ. It says in chapter 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in what? And in the power of his what? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness from on high. Wherefore, verse 13, take unto you the whole armor of what? He says, take it. You're not stealing. He says, take it. Well, bless God, then what are you going to do? Take it. That ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, do one thing, what? Amen. Just one thing having done all, we stand. Come hell or high water or anything else, don't make a bit of difference, we stand. The greatness of a servant is in his faithfulness, in his stand. That a steward be found what? Faithful. That's it. And if God cannot trust you with little, he's never going to be able to trust you with much. So you begin standing. And as you stand, you become rooted. And as you become rooted, the tree goes higher and higher, and it can stand more and more, and it gets taller and taller. And its limbs and its branches and its twigs just bless everybody who enjoys shade. If it's an apple tree, it blesses everybody who enjoys apples, too. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all, without any exception, the fiery darts of what? And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of what? Boy, oh boy. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, for the whole body, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the good news, which is God in Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the mystery. You know, in John chapter 14, we're talking about not being paupers, remember? Verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Jesus Christ speaking, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he what? And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my what? I said to you that in all the annals of grace and glory, the unmatched, the unequaled, the unparalleled in complete excellence is the calling of that one body, the church. In that church, Jesus Christ, the works that I do, ye shall do also. He gave us literally the power of attorney. I think it was my friend Ken Klug who sent me this definition of power of attorney as it's defined in the Handbook of Everyday Law. And I've simply inserted a few names which will make it knowledgeable to you. Listen to this. There are occasions when the principal, parentheses, Jesus Christ, end of parentheses, is not available to carry on his business. He may then execute a general power of attorney authorizing an attorney in fact, parentheses, born again believer, end of parentheses, as his agent to carry on his business for him. That's a definition from a handbook of everyday law which is being used in the United States of America today. All I have done is inserted at the proper place the word Jesus Christ and the born-again believer. He said, the works that I do, ye shall what? To do that, we have to have power of attorney. We execute what he made available for us. I once saw a picture. I wish I could recapture where it was. I'd go get it if I could. I'd like to have it. The setting was in Europe. And they were hauling bread from the bakery on these little wagons with two wheels, the horse in front of it, jiggles along. You've seen them, I guess, in picture shows or something. The man riding up the front, the bread in there, and it was covered up. But as he was going along the road and hitting the bumps in the road, the cover came off at the back of the little wagon, and a loaf of bread dropped out of the back of that wagon on that hard road, and the loaf sort of broke, and there were crumbs here, there, and yonder, but the main part of the loaf rolled off to the side of the road. The picture showed the birds going after the crumbs on the road, and they were ignoring the full loaf of bread. And I got to thinking about this when I saw the picture. How true this is of life. That man fights over the crumbs. They fight over whether Genesis 1, 2 equals Genesis 2, 3. Whether maybe Jesus Christ died and rose again for sure. Or if he's ever coming back. And oh yes, you can be born again, but speaking in tongues went out with the apostles. So they like those birds on the road, fighting over the few crumbs that were spread on the road. Over there laid the whole loaf, and the birds paid no attention to it. And so man been fighting it over the crumbs of the word. And you know what's happening? We are ignoring the full loaf of the bread of life. He is that bread of life. His word makes known how to knead that bread, K-N-E. It makes known how to bake it. It makes known how to use it. And you and I have been called in that one body to make that word of God living and real in our day and time. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm convinced if we don't, it won't get done. And I am deeply humbled tonight because of the tremendous responsibility that dwells upon my shoulders in endeavoring to make this word of God living and real to you, because you people took your time. You took your life. And you brought it here to the international headquarters, and you literally put it in my hands. And you said, here I am. What has God's word got to say to me at this time? That makes it a sobering responsibility on my part. And I'm sure you didn't come here to hear what V.P. Wirwill could dwell up or brew up or something. You came here to hear what the Word says, with the ability that God has put within my soul to make that Word living and real for you. Not only am I deeply humbled by your presence, not only do I realize the tremendous responsibility upon my shoulders, but I would like to say to you that you are the joy and rejoicing of my heart. That people like you from all over the country will come to spend 2 weeks together with me, where we can sit, where we can talk about the Word, where we can pray together, where we can lift needs all over the world together in that one body. I think that's tremendous, class. I thank God that you came. And I am believing with you that by God's mercy and by God's grace, these next 2 weeks shall be, for all of us, the greatest weeks we've ever had together in the Word of God. Just to let that Word live within us, to saturate our minds. Just to let that Word be the completeness of what the Bible says it is, His wonderful, matchless Word. This is my prayer, my desire, people. I just want to be of service to Him, and I can only be of service to Him if I am servant to you. And that I shall try to do with all my heart, my soul, my mind, and my strength with which I love Him.